Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
The title of this morning's message, Why Our Children Need a Biblical Worldview. Now, if you're a parent here today, then I think it's safe to assume that you want your children to grow up and to do well in life, right? That's what we want. We want them to grow up and we want them to do well in life. We want them to flourish in life and we want them to succeed in all that they do. Now, if you are a Christian parent here this morning, then you also want them to grow up to become committed followers of Jesus Christ. If you're like me, you probably spend time every day praying for your children by name. Why? Well, because you love them and you care about them and you care about their future. Because just like we equip our children to understand the elementary basics of life, like colors, shapes, alphabet, numbers, we need to make sure that they are also equipped spiritually and morally for life, right? There is that aspect of life that we need to help our children with. As Christians, we call this giving our children a biblical worldview. Now, let me define again for you what a worldview is. A worldview is how we see and how we understand everything that is happening, not only in our lives, but in the world around us. It's how we understand our perspective of how we view things in life as a whole. Our worldview largely determines how we live our lives. Our worldview either gives us or doesn't give us true meaning and purpose in life. It helps us to interpret the things that happen to us in life, and it also determines how we respond to those things in life. Our thoughts and our actions are determined by our worldview. It plays a very important role in defining who we are and what we believe. Our worldview answers questions like, who am I? And why am I here? Why do I exist? Is there anything beyond life? Is there anything more to life than all the temporary, tangible things that materialistically we see around us? Let me give you some different worldviews that people embrace or adhere to. Number one, there's naturalism. And all this is just a little bit of an introduction here today. Naturalism says that there is no God and that we just simply evolved from animals. That's basically what naturalism teaches. There's no God. We evolved from animals, and we're just a higher form animal. Secondly, there's postmodernism, which says that there is no objective or moral truths that we have to live our lives by. Instead, we establish for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, what is right for you might be wrong for me. What is wrong for me might be right for you. And we have a very confused society because of postmodernistic thought. And then there's pantheism. Pantheism says that everything is God, right? Instead of saying there's one God, we say that everything is God. Well, that's a false concept and philosophy, a way of thinking. Fourthly, there is pluralism. And pluralism says that all the world religions represent equally valid perspectives. Each religion has a valid path to salvation, and we just need to choose which one fits best with our lifestyle. And so they say it really doesn't matter what religion you choose. We're all going to get to heaven eventually one day anyway. That's pluralism. Then there is the big one today that is growing across the world is Islam. And our children are growing up understanding a little bit more about Islam than whenever I grew up. I had never really heard much about Islam or Muslims or anything of that sort when I was growing up. But our kids today, they are exposed to all of that because of the news and because of it being so culturally relevant today. Well, Islam says that there is one God, but he does not have a son. And they will say that he has revealed his will, his plan through his final prophet, Muhammad, and his eternal word is the Quran. Islam teaches that salvation is by good works. A Muslim person believes that when you get to the end of your life, there's going to be a big scale, and God's going to put all of your good works on one side and all of your bad works on the other side, and whichever one outweighs the other determines your eternal destiny. Six, there is secular humanism that says that life is all about you. It's all about you. What really matters is that you get what you want and that you are happy in life. Now, on and on I could go with all kinds of worldviews that our kids are exposed to. But I just want you to know they are exposed to all of these worldviews that I've just mentioned and even more that is out there. It's all presented to them like a buffet. You just go up to the buffet and you can just choose what you want to choose. You can customize your own beliefs and your own religion, put it all together. And sometimes what they do, our kids, and especially the generation and culture that we have today, is they choose a little bit of this, they choose a little bit of that, they choose a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they have their own tailor-made personal belief system. Some things they believe are absolutely false, but they've grown up in a culture that says, yes, there are absolutes when it comes to shapes, colors, ABCs, and numbers, but when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to morality, you are free to decide what is true for you and what is false for you. I think that as Christians, especially as a Christian parent, it is so important that our children have the correct worldview. And I believe that correct worldview is a biblical worldview. Now, a biblical worldview is a worldview based on the authority of Scripture. It's all about this book that we have in our hands today. It's understanding the importance of seeing everything in life through the lens of Scripture. By the way, when it comes to cultivating a biblical worldview in the mind and in the heart of your children, it's never too late. But can I say this? It is best that you start early on in their childhood. The earlier you start, the better. If we give our children a biblical worldview in their early formative years, it will make a huge difference later on in their lives. Now, we need to know that they are not going to have a biblical worldview by accident. You say, I thought that was the church's responsibility, or I send my kid to a Christian school, or I homeschool them, and I believe it's the educational system that ought to give them a biblical worldview. Well, you heard last week Dr. Yuan really emphasize that that responsibility comes on us. It rests squarely upon the shoulders of we as parents to make sure that our kids have a biblical worldview. If our children are going to have that biblical worldview that we want them to have, it's going to be because we are intentional about it. In other words, we put thought behind it. We are planning. We're doing everything in our power to make sure our kids grow up and have a biblical worldview. I want you to turn to Psalm 1, the very first psalm in the Bible. I want us to look at Psalm 1, which describes two very different kinds of people, two very different kinds of lifestyles, two different kinds of thinking, two different kinds of outcomes. One is what we would label as the godly person, and the other one is what we would label as the ungodly person. By the way, we all fall into one of these categories or the other. We are either godly or ungodly. Our kids will grow up and they will become either godly or ungodly. These are the two categories that we are looking here in Psalm 1. So let's look at the psalm. There's just six verses, and I'd like to read them. And if you don't have a Bible, look up on the screens, and it'll be up there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Now notice there's a distinction. There's a difference here. The ungodly are not like the godly, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If you're in the habit of underlining or marking words in your Bible, circle that word ungodly. It appears several times here in this psalm. It is a very interesting word. It is the Hebrew word rasha, which is R-A-S-H-A, rasha. And it carries with it the idea of being unstable, the idea of being loose. Something is shaky or loose or unstable underneath you. And so the opposite of this Hebrew word, rasha, would be to have a sure, solid foundation in life. An ungodly person does not have a solid, firm, sure foundation in life. Instead, their foundation is based upon man's thinking, and so it is what? It's unstable, it's loose, it's shaky. Now, what is the sure, solid foundation that all of us need, and especially our children? Well, you read about it in verse 2. Look at verse 2 again. But his delight, talking about that godly person, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 2 makes it very clear that the sure, solid foundation that we need in life is the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need. You and I as adults, we need the Word of God as the sure, solid foundation of our life. Our kids need the Word of God as a sure, solid foundation in their life. And we as parents have got to give them that foundation while they're young, in those formative developmental years, so that they will succeed later on in life. When we have the Word of God as the sure, solid foundation of our life. In other words, if we have a biblical worldview, the result will be verse 3. Look at verse 3 again. We will be like a tree that is planted by the waters. We will bring forth what? Much fruit, and we will prosper in what we do. Now, the ungodly person is described in verse 1 as a person who is scornful. Now, what does that mean? We've got boys and girls here in the service today. What does it mean to be scornful or to scorn something? Well, that word scornful means one who mocks or makes fun of. You see, it's describing a foolish person, an ungodly person who mocks or who makes fun of the Bible and refuses to live his life according to the principles or the truth of the Bible. The word here describes a person who rejects the truth of God's word and chooses to live life according to the desires of their own flesh. Now, notice again in verse 1 that the godly person does not walk, stand, or sit with the person who mocks God and his word, right? We shouldn't hang out with people like that on a regular basis, because what's going to happen? They're going to influence us. Our children, we have to be careful that they don't hang out and make friends with those who, what? Those who walk, stand, or sit with those who mock or make fun of the Bible and make fun of the God of the Bible. A godly person, one who lives their life according to a biblical worldview, is not going to be politically correct. They're not going to be politically correct. A godly person is not going to be able to just go with the flow of the culture. We're going to have to teach our kids to be bold and to be courageous. And at times, we may even have to teach our kids to be outspoken and to stand up for their convictions, what they stand upon the sure, solid foundation of God's Word. I read these verses and I say to myself, I want to be a godly person. I don't want to be an ungodly person. I want to be a godly person. And I want my children to grow up and to become godly people as well. Now, why should we make it a priority that our children get a biblical worldview? Why is it so important? Let me give you just a few reasons, all right? This list could go on and on, but I just want to give you a few very quick ones. Number one, our children are entrusted to us from God. Do you realize that? Your children are entrusted to you from God. Psalm 127, verse 3, the first half of that verse, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Yes, having children can be extremely challenging because of the days that we are living in. But let's not forget that God gave us the children that we have. God gave you that son, that daughter. And one day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, as parents, we will give an account for how we have impacted, how we have influenced our children. The question on the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand before our Lord and Savior and we give an account for all that He has given to us, which would include our families, include our children, the question is not going to be, did you help your child get all the nice things in life? That's not going to be the question. Did you send them to the very best school? That's not going to be the question. Did you help them get the right job? That's not going to be the question. Did you set them up to make lots of money in life? That's not going to be the question. On judgment day, none of that will matter. But here's the question I believe that we as parents will have to give an answer to, and it's this. Did we teach our children to know God, to love God, to worship God, and to serve God? There it is. Just simple. We say, boy, raising children, it's so complicated. And it is. At times, it can be just very, very challenging. But when you reduce and strip away all the excess, you reduce it right down, here it is. We want our children to know God. Am I correct? We want our kids to know God in a personal way through faith in Christ. We want our kids to love God, right? We want them to love God more than loving the things of the world. We want them to love God more than they love themselves. We want them to worship God. Boy, there's a lot of things competing for worship today. But we want our kids to grow up and to worship God. And then we want them to serve God, right? These are some of the basics. When I reduce this parenting concept down, it is to really help our kids to know God at an early age and to love God, to worship God, and to serve God. The only way they're going to know how to do what I've just described there on that screen is to teach them the truth of God's Word. If they're going to know God, they're going to have to know this book. If they're going to love God, they're going to have to fall in love with this book, right? If they're going to worship God, if they're going to serve God, then they're going to have to embrace the truth of this book, the Bible, God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. And that's why it's so important that we teach them the Word of God. That's ultimately our responsibility as parents. Secondly, we should want our children to experience God's joy in their lives. Why do they need a biblical worldview? Because we want our children to have God's joy in their lives. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 11? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We want our children to understand that when they live their lives according to the truth of God's Word, they will thrive. But If they disobey God's word, they will suffer the consequences for it. You see, that's what Psalm 1 says to us. The godly person, what? Prospers. And the ungodly man ultimately perishes. Thirdly, we want our children to be used by God to impact the world. We want our children to be used of God to impact the world. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now keep in mind, what is truth? The book you hold in your hands. So when your children are walking in the truth, that means they are living their life according to the truth of this book. They have a biblical worldview. And as a parent, we say, wow, that makes me happy. Right? It doesn't say anything about, oh, if they make six figures, that makes me happy. If they have a very, very esteemed and powerful position at the company, that makes me happy. No, it says what makes me happy is to hear that my children are walking in truth. Number four, we want to spend all of eternity with our children and our grandchildren. You think about that. I don't want to just live this life and enjoy my children, hopefully one day my grandchildren, but I want to be able to enjoy all of eternity with them. You see, if we truly believe that every person has a soul that will spend an eternity in heaven or hell, then we should shudder to think that our children, our grandchildren, might not be in heaven with us one day. When we fail to teach our children the truth about God, we are setting them up for eternal failure. When we as Christian parents don't do the job that God has given us to do, to teach them about the one true and only God, and to teach them about His book, His love letter to us, the Bible. You see, just as important as it is for our children to learn about shapes and colors and numbers and the alphabet, it's important for them to learn the life-changing truths of God's Word. You say, what do I teach my child? Well, that could be a whole series in and of itself, all right? But can I give you just a few things that I believe if you'll communicate with your children from the Word of God, it'll change the way they think and it will change the way that they live their lives. Number one thing that needs to be communicated, God loves you. That needs to be communicated to your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter. God loves you. And God loves you unconditionally, which means that there is nothing you can do to make Him love you less or to make Him love you more. God loves you. Our kids are growing up in a loveless culture, feeling like they're not wanted, feeling like they're just living a meaningless existence. We need to let them know God loves you. Number two, Jesus is God's only Son. And He died on the cross. He was buried. And He rose from the dead so that you can be forgiven of all of your sins and spend eternity with Him in heaven. That's something our kids need to hear. The rest of the world's not saying that. They're saying Jesus isn't God. Jesus isn't the only begotten Son of God. There's more than one way to get to heaven. Right? That's what our culture says. So we have to teach them a biblical worldview. And that is, Jesus is God's only Son. And He came into the world and He bled and suffered and died and He was buried and He conquered death and the grave with His victorious resurrection so that we can have the forgiveness of our sin and so that we can spend eternity with Him in heaven. We need to teach our kids Jesus is the only one who can give eternal life. We need to teach our kids that God created you as a unique person and there is no one else like you. Now the parents might say, amen, I agree to that, amen. No one else like that kid. Everyone's unique. We need to teach our children that God has a plan for their life and that they should surrender themselves to accomplish that plan for their lives. We need to teach our children the Bible is God's word to you. And so you need to read God's word and you need to understand God's word and you need to apply the principles of this book to your life. We need to teach our children that God hears and answers them when they pray to Him. We need to teach our children that with His power they can do anything God calls them to do. If you ask for it, God will give you wisdom to make good decisions in life. Really, life is a series of decisions that we make. When we get to the end of our life, we are a sum total of all the decisions that we have made. So we want to teach our kids that if you ask God for wisdom and you look in His Word and you read and understand His Word, you will be able to make the right decisions in life. We need to look at our kids and say, put God first in your life and He'll provide for all of your needs. We need to look at our kids and say, God is faithful and God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. We need to look our kids in the eyes and say, when you sin, ask God to forgive you, and He has promised that He will. We need to look at our kids and we need to tell them obedience to God leads to blessing in your life. On and on I could go, principle after principle. I'm here to tell you, they're not getting this out in the world. They'll not get it in our public educational system. They're not get it from their friends or their neighbors or from the culture in which we live. If they're going to have a biblical worldview, it's going to come from you. It's going to come from you. You see, we've got to communicate a biblical worldview to our children. And I'll tell you this, I like that worldview, a biblical worldview, a whole lot better than any other worldview I've heard of. When they build their lives upon the solid, sure foundation of God's Word, that'll make all the difference in the world. Parents, the challenge today is this. Let's do our jobs.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.